It means seeing your flaws, accepting them, and realizing I can do better. So these are just a few thoughts to think about on this podcast. So welcome to Winning with Trevor. I appreciate your ears, your minds, and the time that you spend contemplating how you can be successful. You know, the time spent contemplating is definitely worth evaluating. What time do you spend contemplating, and what are you contemplating? We have this kind of nonstop stream of consciousness going through our minds all the time. We're not even aware of it half the time, of what we're actually thinking about. We just kind of, you know, pass out almost and let our thoughts take a hold of us, and we, you know, get in this kind of tangential thinking where, you know, we're thinking about checking our mail in one instance. Why is the mailman cramming my mail as if he doesn't care whether or not the items are crushed and destroyed? And then next thing you know, we're thinking about, man, this digital era, how mail is going away. Everyone's on Snapchat, everyone's doing emoticons, and then the falsity of emoticons, because the same emoticon used by multiple types of people has different feelings, but then it looks the same, and next thing you know, you're just down the rabbit hole with Alice in Wonderland, wondering, where did that go? So something to think about is thinking. Intentional thinking is super, super important to be focused, to win the morning, to win your day, and not just be this automaton, but to be able to say, you know, I decide what I think about, or at least what I dwell on. A lot of people will argue there's no way to actually have real willpower. I mean, there's, you know, ancient philosophers that go Malcolm Bowden's states of failure, and you can go deep on that. The whole question of, is everything predestined, or do you truly have a choice? I'm sure that is a question you like to think about every morning when you're making your coffee, hopefully not instant. And it's not really going to be something we're going to go super long into. It's not really a question. We do have the choice. Maybe those random impulses, those random knee-jerk reactions that sometimes can arise before we decide to say, hey, I'd like to have a little more say in how my life is, that coasting period that we're not really paying attention in. Yeah, okay, there'll be plenty of times for that. But at some point, you're really just doing a cost-benefit analysis. It's that simple. And looking at your life and saying, okay, well, I've spent this much energy dwelling upon my last ex. What good did that do me? Not a lot. Just got depressed and shit. It's not really a good way to motivate myself to achieve goals. It's not really a good, you know, use of my time. I was watching this stand-up comedy series on Netflix. I just got into it. I forget what it's called. It's actually fairly decent. I don't feel every single comedian that's on there, but, you know, laughter is such a healthy medicine. No matter what you're going through, when you can take five, watch a stand-up, comedian that's not necessarily someone that's doom and gloom, but someone that's joking about stuff that you're, you know, happy to think about. Not stuff you scroll past quickly on your Facebook feed, but stuff that's just lighthearted. And this guy was talking today. He was really good, and I was watching him. And he had a really insightful observation that I didn't expect to see, just kind of sandwiched in the jokes. And this relates to, you know, the cost-benefit analysis of how you invest your time and how you invest your thought life, your energy with your thoughts, to get, ideally, something more out of it than just this vague sense of regret, which is not that hard to come across when you're thinking about things like exes. He was talking about a relationship he just ended, or rather, it ended him, as he honestly admitted that she left him. And he was going on for a little bit, making his jokes, and then he was saying, you know what is really important to me is I started to look at things honestly and think about what are the things I really can be held responsible for in this relationship, for what didn't work out. What did I do that led to this relationship ending? And I want to fix that. I want to work on myself so that I don't have any baggage for the next relationship. I don't make the same mistakes. I fix that about myself. Now, he was, of course, a lot more glib, a lot more comedic in his delivery. But that was what he said. And it was like, wow, even comedians are getting introspective now. Not to say that there hasn't always been an element, but it was nice. It was nice. And it ties in to the topic of being able to self-regulate what we think about. Because it's so easy to get lost in our thoughts, so easy for the stream of consciousness inside to take us into these crazy places, or at least just non-productive. We get caught up in the minutiae, the little looks that we're interpreting in one way or the other that people give us, the things that we wish we would have accomplished but didn't. There's a lot of levels to this. And then, you know, we get dreamy and we think about the stuff that we wish we would have had. Maybe that trip to France that you took last year, and, wow, I wish I was there now, but I'm not, and wow, you know, I'm stuck here.
Stuck here. 15 hours later, you find yourself trying to finish a crossword puzzle you're not really interested in, trying to finish a cold coffee, which if you'd purchased it cold would have been great, but when it was hot before and now it's cold, it's very meh. And you're like, what am I doing with my life? Why am I here? And then you flip on the podcast, and like, there's fucking Trevor again, telling me I should be responsible for how I feel. God damn it. So I think that it bears noticing the time that we spend for what we dwell on. Because dwelling is so powerful. It leads to a lot of different things. It leads to this kind of duality that we have. And, you know, there's shades of gray, of course, in between, of people that are dwelling and they're super depressed and there's something that they can't stop thinking about and it just goes on and on and on. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have people that dwell on the past successes and they look for ways to continue that success. It's like the person that you see. You may have always had this person where no matter what happens, you know, rainy days to sunny days, they're always in this really, what, me worry? Just totally not in a worried state of mind. They're always kind of like, yeah, that happened, but I'm sure it'll work out fine. And that's so valuable to cultivate that attitude. And this is, again, not something, like I've made this contrast many times in at least two podcasts before, because it's easy to get confused when it comes to this emotions of not caring and being careful not to be apathetic, but at the same time not being attached. How do you love someone? How do you truly love someone and not be attached to your idea of them and force them to conform to what you feel they should be? Now, I mean, basic respect, of course. If someone's being a douchebag, then, you know, it's self-evident. You don't have to be around that kind of behavior. But at the same time, you know, people are imperfect. They're, you know, it's this unrealistic standard I feel like a lot of people have to live up to. Maybe it's dating apps, maybe it's social media, maybe it's the attachment to financial security versus a real personality connection. And so we get lost in this idea of someone that we're so attached to that when it comes down to actually caring for them, for who they are, it's hard because we start caring about the idea we wish that person was. And that's dangerous territory because it's not really that fair to that person. It's not fair to us because it's just building up this expectation of failure, essentially, for the other person. Whether that's a guy, you know, expecting some kind of behavior from a woman that is not realistic or not fair to her for her having her own choices and emotions, or a woman expecting something from a man that is completely, you know, unrealistic given who the man is or how the man has already shown himself to be. So it's this fine line. But dating and romance aside, I'm simply referring to originally this contrast, right, of being kind of the helicopter mom, the being overzealously paying attention, wanting everything to go perfect and being really inflexible with life, which is fluid, which constantly changes every single day. Plans, you know, that are nice, but life is what happens when we're making plans. So having the attitude of saying, you know what, I'm not going to worry about that because I accept that reality is going to change. This is not the same thing as being really lazy and saying, you know, I don't care, I'm going to get high and wait till tomorrow to finish that degree, to do things that are meaningful in my life, to make more money and stop being a slob. Yeah, tomorrow. And then 10 years later, tomorrow. Yeah, don't be that person. There are plenty out there, and they'll still be there 20 more years from now. So how do you do this? How do you balance in between the sense of really caring for the direction that your life goes in, but without being attached to the result, without being attached to it so much that you're just pressuring yourself, you're just whipping yourself on the back, mea culpa, instead of using the force of love and understanding and that motivation, that really inspirational feeling when you see something amazing in public, you see, you know, a man run out into the street and save a small child from running into the car, and you're like, wow, that was amazing. Or like, you know, maybe a dog did that. It's these moments that give us this feeling. We're like, wow, that's beautiful. That's the kind of feeling you want to have when we're thinking about what we'd like to achieve, not the attachment to goals as this kind of stagnant thing we keep in our wallet or purse and thinking, oh, well, let me just whip this out, let me share it with my friends, tell them all about this life I'm going to live, and show it off like it's a piece of bling on my wrist or on your neck. No, different feeling, because our intention and the feeling behind what we do is so, so vital for how successful we are at what we do and how happy we are in the aftermath. Because I'll tell you, just having money alone doesn't always bring happiness. Now, I'm not saying at all I would have turned down, you know, an extra 100,000 here and there. Of course not. But at the same time, using that as a crutch to become emotionally evolved and balanced is totally common with a lot of people that they focused on that part of their life. They've mastered the finances, the business, the entrepreneurship. They got that down, and that's great. But then that whole healing the heart from past traumas, becoming balanced, having goals and not using those goals as these props for our ego, but really as kind of a fulfilling motion to complete who we are as like real people that are not just half-finished products of our childhood, which so many of us are. And it's a big difference. You know, I've known more than one person in my life that I've been friends with that has had more than $1 million. And through their whole hard work, the profession that they chose, both in school and in other areas of life, and not all of these people were happy. It wasn't always this kind of instant genie in a bottle, three wishes sort of thing, where money granted this. I beg to differ with this whole philosophy, which I've mentioned a few times, that somehow it's inherently bad to want to have more money or to live a better lifestyle. That's not true. The person that you are and how you interact with other people, how you make other people feel, that's kind of more spot on for the, you know, real happiness that you have in life. It's not really anything to do with money. I think money facilitates being able to do more things, which is cool. And that's part of why I started my own business as well and wrote a few books. But the thing is that we have to couple that with the inner journey. It's kind of like just doing yoga without doing that internal meditation. Sure, you have the moves down, and that's cool. It's good for your body. It's good for your chi. Your energy is good. But it's going to be kind of off kilter. It's going to be only partially finished if you don't also do that inner work of meditating, of finding a peaceful spot inside yourself where you're letting go of these worries, letting go of all the stuff, the materials that you're attached to, and being able to just kind of be here now, be in this present moment without judging, without thinking, just breathing. That's so important. It centers you. It gives you a solid place to work from. So, you know, it's not just money, right? You got to do the work. You got to do the work inside to work on who you really are. That's the treasure. That's the beautiful, amazing treasure that is free for all of us. And that's the treasure of becoming better, of becoming a better person inside. And that's reflected often on the outside for how we interact with other people, the social circles that we move in our life. You know, I used to be, when I was younger, a really, really negative person. I was caught up in a lot of adversity that I had to face and overcome. But even though I'd overcome, I guess, the physical elements of a lot of the adversity that I'd went through as a younger person, they still stayed with me, these adverse events, and they influenced how I interact with people, what I focused on, right? Because we're thinking about thoughts as this capital, in a sense, right? That's your real currency, because you're investing your thoughts, and what you get in return from that, for where you dwell, right, with your thoughts, is going to be dependent on what you're thinking about and how you're thinking it. Oprah Winfrey once said, "Be thankful for what you have. You'll end up having more. If you concentrate on what you don't have, you'll never, ever have enough." And this is very true. And so we may have goals and aspirations for things that we want to happen. But don't get caught up in old habits of thinking in this kind of sense of thinking in a deficit. Like, my thoughts are all about how I wish I had more money, I wish I had a better job, I wish I had a better car, I wish I had a better life partner. that's a sucky thought to have. But we, you know, this has happened. We've all been guilty of thinking thoughts like this, but that's not going to motivate yourself to get there. It's just going to repeat and regurgitate the narrative of not having. I'm a have not. I don't have all this stuff. Instead, it's more like, well, what do I already have that I'm very thankful for? What can I appreciate right now that is really beautiful in my life? One of the advantages of living in Austin is that there are so many beautiful days here. Today, for instance, was gorgeous. There was blue, blue, blue skies, birds tweeting in the trees, these puffy clouds. I looked up at that shit and I was like, that's dope. I like that. I'm thankful for this. So reminding yourself to recenter where you dwell, reminding yourself to use that currency of thoughts, to spend that in your piggy bank of gratitude, to spend that in something that gives back, helps you to evolve, helps your inner self reach a little higher. Not just take the lowest hanging fruit, which is the easy thing to get stuck into, the routine habits of our life, of how we speak to people, what we dwell our thoughts on, and where we tend to go mentally with this kind of never-ending stream of thoughts. And it's so beautiful when you can choose for yourself what you dwell on. Because a lot of people that I've met in the past and that I know now have kind of made the argument when it comes to personal responsibility, one of the maxims of this podcast, is that, well, you know, I can do so much. I can only control this much. And then, you know, just shit happens. I can't control that. And it's true. You can't control the actions of other people. You can't control how people drive. Wish I could. You can't control the weather. You can't control a lot of things. But you can control how you respond to it. You can definitely do that. And then I've had other friends in the past, these, you know, long drawn out breakfast club conversations, various, you know, kitschy, I guess? I don't know. Nice, hipstery coffee shops, local flavors, beautiful atmosphere, long conversations about philosophy. These many drawn out conversations. A lot of times, I've had folks say, well, yeah, that may be true. I may be able to choose how I respond, but I can't choose how I respond when it first happens. That stuff just happens. I can't control that. That's just me. It's not my fault. And this is yes and no, yes and no. We may not always be able to, at first, control our immediate reaction to things. A lot of people live their entire lives off random impulses. And that's okay, I guess. But it kind of feels like, you know, you're a prisoner to this random impulse. Because what if that shit leads you wrong? And then, like, where are you at? I had a random impulse to rob a liquor store with my friends because we were all right in the car together. You know, and that now I'm serving 20. Okay, not always a good idea just to follow every single impulse, despite what Jim Carrey says to say yes. Though I agree in part with some of that philosophy. But this is what you can control. And this, you know, we're circling back to the theme of this podcast. You can control what you dwell on. You can control what you spend the most amount of time and energy thinking about. Because thoughts are this beautiful form of energy that physically exists in the world. Random number generating machines, you know, quantum mechanics, they've done all kinds of tests and orthodox physics. We're not even on this, you know, astral projection realm of, you know, theoretical metaphysics or anything, or whatever. This is legit proof stuff that thoughts have influenced the order that numbers appear in. Thoughts have influenced how plants grow and the shape of water molecules on a microscopic level. They've done all sorts of really neat stuff. It's shown that what we think about really does affect our environment. So when you expand on that and you personalize it, instead of some abstract Google search trying to find out, wow, this is neat, let me share this in a meme. Well, let's go a little deeper here. You know, this is what we will go deeper on, is how thoughts themselves can be used as a currency to spend in your life to develop yourself and develop higher qualities of your life. I know a lot of this stuff is maybe a little too heavy for the average light conversation at a coffee shop, but it's so vital and so important to realize what power you have, because no one wants to be just at the whim of circumstance, at the whim of the impulse of random events or, dare say, other people that are making decisions about how your life's going to be. I support empowerment. I support people get up, get out, and do something, as Outkast and CeeLo Green raps. I love that. I love that idea that we can actually do something in our lives about how they are. The quality, the caliber of experience that we have can get really high. High quality. Because when you just accept what happens and you lay around and then complain about how things aren't as good as they could be, you're not really doing anything to generate that forward momentum. But even something as small as simply, and this is small but it is huge, simply monitoring your thoughts and paying attention to what you dwell on and switching that up to something positive and something empowering. And maybe, you know, if it helps, you can get out your, you know, Winning with Trevor, no bullshit self-help podcast notebook, El Cuaderno in Espanol. Take it out. And write down maybe a series of maybe five or six really good memories. And use those to switch into a better mode. When you find yourself dwelling on the negativity, when you find yourself being obsessed with some little action that happened that you couldn't control and it just starts to get you. Whether this is something you see in the news, I don't even turn on the news, to be honest. I don't want that in my life right now. Got much happier things to focus on. Like cats. You switch into that. You just transition. And it's something that you can really train yourself to do. At first, it's going to be the same old, same old. At first, it's going to be like, well, okay, this is the first reaction. I'm going to get upset. I'm going to get angry or, you know, worked up about something with negative emotions that doesn't go the way I wish it would go. But after you train yourself, rinse and repeat, you know, after this happens enough times where you're consciously saying, you know what, let me switch this narrative. Let me choose to invest my thoughts in something better that gives me a return on that investment. Get ROI for your thoughts, people. That's the true, you know, benefit. That's the true KPI, if you want to go marketing terms. That's the true KPI to measure your life by is get a return on your investment for your time and energy, mentally and emotionally. What are you investing in? Does it have a return? I hope so. And this is not on this sociopathic level of using other people to get stuff from them. Don't go that route. That's no good. Because the person you become in that process is not too pretty. It's more along the lines of, what are you getting out of the activities you are doing to yourself that help focus your energy of your thoughts? So in this notebook, write down 5 or 6 really happy memories and use those. Use those to switch into a better mood when you're getting sucked down that black hole of, you know, this shit was foobar. It should have been like this. It wasn't. Damn, if only it was, and, you know, so on, et cetera, et cetera. Switch off. Switch into a new mode. I mean, I was in Hawaii in December, and there was this one cliff that I was at. It looked like freaking Ireland. It was interesting. Ireland, where I went out on the edge of this beautiful green grassy knoll, and this cliff had this beautiful, you know, I guess, rock formations. I don't know the correct term. Not a geologist, these rock facades, I guess, down the side, and the sound of the ocean waves crashing against the shore, and then the stretch of the ocean. Now, I'd been staying on the Kona side of the island from my hotel, but on this side, it was different. I was halfway in between Kona and Hilo. The Hilo is the side that's got more rainfall. It's got rainforests and stuff like that, and Kona's more of the sunny side, and I was right smack in the center between those at the tip of the island. And it was a different feeling. The feeling of looking out at that Pacific Ocean stretching wide infinitely into the distance all the way to Japan or wherever. And that moment, you know, just standing there, watching the waves crash against the shore. I recorded a video of it. It was so gorgeous. I love that. That's a memory for me. That's one of my memories. That if I'm getting stressed out, you know, something happens in traffic, whatever the case may be, and I find myself getting stuck, investing my thoughts in something that does not have ROI, investing something that does not meet my KPIs for my emotional currency, for my thoughts. I switch into that. I start thinking about that moment, and it switches everything. And then I'm no longer the slave of these random impulsive thoughts that we get so easily stuck in, and then it affects our mood, and then that affects our actions for the day and how much potential we have to actually be productive for that day. We skip doing stuff because we're in a, you know, not so great mood. It's just this chain effect. That's why being able to be aware of the thoughts that you have, which is part of our bigger theme for this month and next month, which is self-awareness. That's the theme. That's what this whole podcast today was under, I guess, the chapter heading of. Is self-awareness, now dial that down. Self-awareness of thoughts. Where are you investing your thoughts? What return does that have? How many times have you thought about the same thing, like a song that's stuck in your head from the radio that has just, you know, not really gotten you anywhere? How can you switch into a more productive mindset? Well, the first step is to get your emotions invested in something positive. Get your neutral at the very least. And, you know, my example of standing on this cliff, looking at the, I think, southeast side of the Pacific Ocean from the Big Island in Hawaii, it was this, you know, completely judgment-free place where it wasn't about people, the anthill life that we live, and the busy bee stuff. It was just this moment of raw beauty. And switching into that is really nice. So if you have a moment like that, where you have this moment and it's out in nature, that's a good memory to use. to just switch your mode and start investing your thoughts in something positive from there. It's just, you know, baby step. You scale it up. First, you get out of the mode where you're, you know, silently arguing with yourself or whatever. And then you start switching into a real positive mindset of, what can I do? It's so easy to get stuck in what can't I do about something. What can I do? Well, I control myself. I don't control the world. I can focus on this beautiful memory, get my emotions on board, getting in a positive mood, and then I can start thinking about stuff that does take me somewhere in life. And there you go.
There you go.
Mother Teresa once said, not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. And so there you go. That intention is what's so beautiful, and you control that. That's winning with Trevor.
Winning with Trevor.
It means seeing your flaws, accepting them, and realizing I can do better. So these are just a few thoughts to think about on this podcast. This is Winning with Trevor, signing off. Appreciate your ears, your minds, and the time that you spend contemplating how you can be successful.